Welcome to Messy Buns Podcast. I'm Mary.
This is Elise.
And coronavirus and being quarantined has us feeling all kinds of ways. But one of those ways is hopeful. And Elise has been quarantined for a lot longer than any one of us. We have a lot to say about this and these unprecedented times. Come fight with us.
Time to dance it out, girl.
For a second, I thought it said so much of what I'm chasing is simply fantasy, fantasy to get out of my house, but it was really saying vanity. It's funny when things happen like that. But anyway, okay, so today I know, like, I feel like by now we're probably, a lot of us are probably sick of talking about coronavirus, you know. Actually, like, my husband and I went on the boat yesterday too. And it was kind of nice. It was the first time that I didn't think about it for a while. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I hadn't felt that way in weeks. And it was nice because we would have been right on a boat whether we were quarantined or not. Right, so it was just nice to get away for a second. But I think we have a lot of good things to talk about coronavirus and kind of getting our mind frames, our mindset about it. But before we do that, of course, Elise, I have an icebreaker to share with you.
Yes. Break the ice,
it's kind
Mary.
Of like a coronavirus icebreaker. So, all right. These are actually social distancing pickup lines. I knew you'd be so excited about this.
Yes.
All right. Here's the first one. Since all the public libraries are closed, I'm checking you out instead.
These are as bad as the Catholic ones.
I know. You should do like thumbs up, thumbs down. All right. Here, I like this one. You can't spell virus without you and I. Baby, do you need toilet paper? Because I could be your Prince Charming. Charmin.
Good.
That's a pretty
that
good
one's
one.
Good.
All right, here we go. This doesn't even kind of make sense because the bars are closed, but I saw you from across the bar. Stay there.
Stay there.
And then, okay, without you, my life is as empty as the supermarket shelf. That's true. Oh, hey, babe, can I ship you a drink? You can't spell quarantine without U-R-A-Q-T. Like the letters Q and T.
Yeah, you are a
Q-T. Isn't this awful? Okay, this is the last one. I really can't stay. Baby, it's COVID-19 outside. Okay, that's it. We're going to put that away. I'm about done with that.
There was some story that I keep seeing and I haven't taken the time to read it about some guy about some love, social distancing love story where he sent her a note via drone or something. And then she was on top of some building and they had a date from like building top to building top or something.
Oh, that's cute.
I was like, my goodness.
If it's one thing we're getting good at these days, it's being creative.
I know, for sure.
Which is a good thing, you know?
Oh my gosh, yeah.
But so you guys know Elise has been chronically ill for a while now. And so she's actually been quarantined for a lot longer than us. And she has this video on, where can people find you, Elise, and your videos?
So it's YouTube. It's Elise Bennett. You can look up Elise Bennett, and then on Facebook and Instagram, it's Elise S. Bennett. So,
okay. And Bennett's got Bennett two N's and two T's, right?
Two N's, two T's. Yeah.
Yeah. So she's done these videos that are really awesome and she's been really vulnerable throughout her whole experience and has a lot of wisdom to share. So, I thought it would be a good idea to open up this part, letting her talk a little bit about, and I'm going to let you give most of the information, but as y'all know, over a year, is it 2 years? How long has it been? A year, two
years
at this point?
I know, I keep saying a year and a half. It's like almost 2 years at this point, but yeah, it's like It's a while.
where she's been really, for health reasons, stuck at home because she could either not get out of her bed or leave the house because she just never knew how she'd be feeling, or she just was feeling bad. Couldn't make plans because she just never knew what the next day would bring. And I know this as being one of her very closest friends who, you know, I used to be able to see her and hang out with her. But it just got a lot more difficult for her because she never knew what was going to happen. So she's kind of been here for a while and she's learned a lot. She's already kind of on the other side of it, even though she's still kind of confined to her home, especially now because of quarantine. Either way, you're right. Confined to your home. But she has a lot of great wisdom to share. So can you tell us a little bit, Elise, about like, how about like the hardest, when it hardest hit for you, that as an extrovert, you were kind of stuck at home. What were the feelings that were going through your mind and heart?
Oh, gosh. It's hard because it's definitely like a long process. It's literally like, for me, it was a grieving process. And it is different than what we're going through right now because people who are home right now, they have their health, you know, so it is different.
Or at least most of them. Yeah.
Right. Most of the people have their health, that meaning like the people that are like, I'm so bored. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's hard because it is different. I went through a very emotional situation, losing a lot of things, you know. So for me, it was a grieving process, you know. I had everything taken away from me, and it wasn't just like we're quarantined for a short amount of time. It was like we're not getting these things back, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it is different. So I was looking at these very long term things that look like there potentially could never be resolutions to them, and really going through a full grieving process, basically, of what my life had been and what it was at that point, you know, when I was basically had to step down from my job and, you know, my immune system, funny enough, my immune system was compromised. So, you know, I had to stay away from people, you know, already, you know, and things like
that. Yeah, I took you someplace one day to a doctor's appointment and you had your own mask. Do you remember?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is like with people who are immune compromised. And this is what's crazy is like so many people are like, you know, I posted an article. I saw this thing and it was talking about the anxiety that everybody feels about getting sick right now. But those with chronic illness feel that all the time. You know what I mean? So what people don't realize is that everybody's so careful right now. But the people with chronic illness and some people who are even way worse than me as far as being immunocompromised, it's like it's just as bad for us as the COVID-19. Yeah. You know what I mean? So people will come over and sneeze and be like, oh, I'm kind of sick. It doesn't matter. Or like cough or whatever. And they're like, oh, they're just kind of sick. And it's like, well, it doesn't matter. Like, it's really serious. But nobody before COVID-19 thought about that at all because they just don't, you know. So the funny thing is this, the whole chronic illness community like is kind of underground. And everybody now is like, I know you guys think that you have it hard right now, but like when this ends, it's going to end for you, but it won't for us. You know what I mean? So it's, and I'm telling you, like I said, there's so many people who are way worse that are, you know, like in wheelchairs, barely able to. I have a friend with MS who is having to learn how to talk again. This is like her second time she's learning how to walk and talk again. And so it's crazy because it is like there's a whole world that's been doing this. You know, before it was the thing to do, in a sense, you know. So well,
it's crazy that a lot of people it's taken so long for people to even kind of adhere to some of the guidelines, too. Even now, even as we it makes you kind of wonder what's going on there. But it definitely puts things into perspective for all of us. I know, like, I would not classify myself as an extrovert. I know you're more of an extrovert than me. I'm more like your husband. We're like, we don't want to see people. but still, it has its own little effects on all of us. And
right.
Things like for me, I'm not an extrovert, but like I like being in my house. Like, I like just hanging out with like a few people, like my husband and my daughter. And like, I like to have friends over too occasionally, but just like a few, not too many at a time. But I do like to change things up. So it's hard to like be doing the same thing every day, even though I am in my happy place with just a few people. But also like things have changed a lot for me, but they also haven't changed very much for me because I'm like a stay-at-home mom who does some like contracting jobs as like as a Creighton model practitioner intern, and then I have like writing and other things that I do. But Bella was going to school 3 times a week, where that gave me some time for a break and to do that kind of important work that gives me a lot of my purpose. And so it was very hard. I've really enjoyed being able to do some of her schoolwork with her. I like being able to like see what her teachers are doing with her. We get some videos in her different subjects, and that's been really nice. But it's taken away a lot of my freedoms in that respect because I don't have that time to do stuff for myself. And that's so that's been really hard. And something that you said to me really helped me the other day when I texted you, and I was like, I'm just trying to figure out what God is like wants me to do with my life. Because isn't that what happens? Like, this huge change has happened in our lives, all of our lives, not like some, for some people more than others. But I feel like, don't we have to kind of step back and say, okay, God, what are you wanting me to focus on right now? What, like, there's something. You know, like, there's something that God would like us all to see right now. So I was just texting Elise and saying, I'm just trying to figure that out. And what did you text me back? Oh, you were like, just enjoy it. Just kind of like find something and just enjoy life. Like what you're just put on this earth to do, take care of Bella or do something like and enjoy your time. And I was like, but I don't want to enjoy my time. I was like, doing these things is what gives me purpose. And she said,
it gives you worth.
Gives me worth. And you're like, but no.
I said, you problem is that shouldn't be what makes you feel like you have worth.
Like, you still have worth even if you can't do A, B, and C. And it was really humbling to hear. I'm not gonna lie, I was like, dang it, she's right. But it actually freed me up, and I couldn't even put my finger on it, really. But once you explained that to me, it actually freed me up to be more creative, and I wasn't pushing it so much. You know, it just stuff just started coming, and it was just good to not feel like I had to do these things, even though I wanted to do them. So that was just one small thing for me. But Elise, what about, like, when you turn the corner, what would you say were some of the things that God put on your heart when you started to kind of see the light, even though your situation wasn't changing? You know what I mean? You were still stuck at home. That part wasn't changing, but your demeanor changed.
Well, that's the thing is that, and this is what I was talking about in my video, is you have to, like, you know, you go through times of, like, we talk about consolation and desolation, you know?
Yeah.
And by the grace of God, and I truly believe because of the amount of prayers that I was receiving a lot of grace through my process. And in the midst of it, I wasn't cursing God. It was a very Job kind of experience. And it was kind of like the first time in my life that I wasn't turning on God and being like, you know, that typical, like, what are you doing to me? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I was just like, I'm not happy. I'm not okay. But, like, I choose to believe that something's good is going to come out of this. And that's the thing, is, like, I really believe that that's an important period of time, like, to not feel it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think that's the thing, is, like, we have an opportunity to love God, like, to give to God right now. Yeah. In our faith, you know, we don't have a strong faith if we can feel things and feel good all the time. Faith is when we exercise it, which is when we don't feel and when we don't, you know. And so these times that we have like this are these amazing opportunities to actually grow stronger in our faith, you know. So he gives us an opportunity to be like, you don't have all the feel goods, everything is confusing, you don't know what's coming in the future. And that's what's, I think, is the hardest for us. Is for me, it was like, I was completely out of control of my life, you know? And so that spirals us and you begin to lose your identity. Like for me, I was no longer a youth minister, a photographer. Like I had no identity in a sense, you know what I mean? And I'm about to do a video on this because it's such an important topic. But what it comes down to is God is good, you know? And like you have to believe that. And if you believe that, then you have to know that you have to look at it as this adventure. Like, wow, what is he working towards? Because if he's good, there means that means that this is part of his plan and that there is some good, there's some reason I have to go through this. And so instead of it happening to you, you start to begin to look for like those clues in a sense of what it is that he's doing, you know? But then it's also like, in the midst of it, like you have to like, it's funny because it's like you get to the point where, again, and it's the same thing. Like the reason I was able to say that to you was because I went through the same exact thing, you know, because I was like, I've got to make this time worth it. I've got to, you know, like even in the midst of being sick, I was still like, I've got to find a way to like pray and like intensely pray for people, which, you know, of course, is a very good thing. But like, I also like he was just like, calm the heck down, you know, like just be. And like Saint Therese of Lisieux was really coming back to me in the simple ways of things, you know. And I've said this to you before. I've even said it, I think, in a podcast of like there's a saint or somebody who said that look at if you want to measure your holiness, look at how you love the people closest to you. And so right now we have a great opportunity to do that. And we always like to go above and beyond and think, okay, by doing charity work, by doing podcasts, by doing videos, by doing blogging, ministries, and by doing all this, all this stuff, that we're doing God's work. But if we're not in the home and loving our spouse or our children and snapping at them and snapping at each other, then we're actually, none of that crap matters.
I'm giving you snaps. None of that shit matters. That's like the new way to clap, right? Yeah. That's what I'm doing. I'm snapping. That's good. That's really good.
Well, but this is what God was showing me was like, Will and I were kind of like falling apart and at each other's throats. And like he said something to me like that was really hard to hear. And it was basically like, this is the worst our marriage has ever been. You know, like you're basically really mean to me, you know. And I had to look at myself in that time and be like, you know, oh, wow. You know, like I can pray all I want. I can be a youth minister. I can go out and talk. But if I can't treat my own husband with love and respect, then I've literally done nothing because that sacrament is more important than any other thing I can do. So here God is doing, this is what's crazy, is that God is taking all these things away, all these the responsibilities noise. And all these, and all the things that we busy our life with that we prioritize as more important than our own family, totally, you know? True. And the family is like been going through so much attack. And what is he doing? But he's like, I'm going to take away all your excuses that you have that you're telling me are more important than your family. And I'm going to put you right with your family to work on that, you know? And there is nothing more important than you, that relationship with your spouse and that relationship. Yeah. And that's what he showed me. And I was like, and it was so humbling because you don't get a bunch of praise for doing that. You know what I mean? Like for making your husband his lunch or dinner or whatever. Like you don't get praise for that. You get praise for doing good podcasts. You get praise for doing good videos and things like that and ministries. But you don't get praise for loving your spouse, like especially even when you have to say no to ministries, right? And like they look kind of down on you because they're like, oh, well, I don't have, you know, like, oh, they said no to me, you know? Well, yeah, because my spouse needed it.
Yeah.
So like even being willing to take on that negative, like they may think bad of me for saying no, but you know what? My spouse really needs me right now. And you know,
you talked about not getting praise for like washing the dishes or like loving in the small ways that we can around our homes. But we also don't get paid for washing the dishes. And that kind of compares it to like, well, we're getting paid to go to work. Work can often take over our lives as well. We can choose work and then use the excuse that, well, I'm getting paid for it. This is our income. But like, that, it's just another, even if you're not like enjoying doing it so much, oh, I have to do it. Well, like washing the dishes, you're not getting praise, you're not getting paid, but you're feeding your family, like feeding like right. spiritually, right. emotionally. I don't mean like literally feeding,
right.
but
right.
but those are right. really the things that I think God is opening the doors for us to come back to right now. And you right. talked about consolation and stuff like that. I think it's so funny. I feel like it always comes back to that, whether we're talking about infertility and not getting what we want or right, this right. this particular situation. It always comes back to loving God and what he calls, what love is. It's making the choice when we don't feel like it. It's easy for us to love and to choose each other right. when things are going great. You know, but can you imagine not right. choosing your child when your child's snapping at you or not treating you nice? Can you imagine like not still choosing your spouse when they're not making you feel good? I mean, love is love is love. So it's the same right. when like we're having this situation that we may not understand, we may not like it, but God knows better than we do. And here we are, like, we can either step into it and try to make the best of it and still choose him and actually be open to what he's trying to teach us and become right. better for it. And I think a lot of people are trying to do that. It's just hard.
Well, and that's what I want to say too, is that by no means talking about this is it like, oh, you're going to be good at it. That's the whole point yeah. is that this, like, it's going to be hard. You know what I mean? It's going to be messy. You're going to make mistakes. Like, it's not supposed to be easy. So if you're pulling your hair out right now, yeah, no shit. Like, that's going to happen. You know what I mean? Like when, but that you're not going to ever get better unless you start somewhere.
Well, we're so
you know?
Used
so,
to the distractions
yes,
that we can.
Exactly.
And God's exactly. like, nope, you don't get no distraction right now.
Well, he's making times for intense growth, and with intense growth comes growing pains. Mm-hmm. So it is going to be hard. It is going to be like, I want to, like, Will and I had a fight today and I was telling Mary, I think I'm going to run screaming down my block. Like, I might light my hair on fire and just start screaming and run
okay,
down
the block.
Okay,
but do it without the you fire, know? Okay?
But and that's the thing is like unless you're willing to fight for each other and fight for your family, you know what I mean, it's going to be messy. But again, like you said, if we have distractions, we can go, we as soon as it starts to feel uncomfortable, we can leave, you know, but we right. can't right,
right
now. And he's and that's where like we're really being put in the furnace, you know, and being tested. And I was reading something and it's like you can't have faith without being tested,
right?
You know, you
oh
can't just
gosh.
Be like, yeah, I have faith, you know what I mean? No, you actually have to be tested, and you can't get stronger in your faith without really being tested, you
well,
know?
That's the whole reason we don't see. Like, if we were able to see Jesus in front of us, right. it wouldn't require any faith.
Right.
But the faith is in the not seeing.
Right. And he's
it
taking
away... It requires us to
right.
leap.
Right. Well, and he's taking away every... Like, and this is what I experienced was there was no end in sight. And right now, we have no end in sight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for me, there really is no end in sight. I have a bunch of medical conditions that are incurable. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So from 1 month to week to whatever to the next, I can have a good week and then it flares up and I have a bad week, you know? And that what's the beauty of that is that, and my video was about freedom, you know, is that when you get your freedom taken away, it teaches you to live in each moment. You know what I mean? It teaches you yeah. to let go of what tomorrow's going to bring and instead live in the moment and be excited for the things that do come your way. You know what I mean? Instead of having expectations and when they're no longer what you want them to be, you're disappointed. Live in the moment, and what God brings into each moment should be then exciting, because instead of anticipating it and expecting it, you're just like, what's going to happen next, you know? And to live in that anticipation and that excitement, you know, versus mm-hmm. constantly being disappointed. And that's what I see right now. There's a lot of, and I went through it myself. Like, there, this is no, this is no cut to anybody. We all deal with this, but like, that's one thing that I've really had to learn because of, and you've witnessed this with me, like literally from one moment to the next, one day I may be sick or not sick, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so living in that excitement of like, oh my gosh, today I got to go outside. Literally, I got to go outside and feel the sun on my face. Yesterday, I didn't. You know what I mean? Like, to live in that excitement of those small things and to be joyful for each small thing that you get to do instead of constantly disappointing because your expectations aren't being met. You know?
Yeah. And I'm just appreciating God's creation. I mean, just the way that he made us. I think you just talked about stepping outside and feeling the sun on your face. We've been outside more in the last 2 or 3 weeks than we've been like ever. And it's something I have to work on myself because I have a daughter. She likes to be outside. I need to push myself more, you know? And it's been really nice. I've discovered new animals on my street I have never seen before. I'm like, where do these? I came back one day after we took a walk around the block and I was like, Chris, I saw this crazy creature. I have never seen it before in my life. Let me just tell you about it. He goes, was it a lizard snake? And I was like, what? You see, Chris is outside all the time. And he like totally rained on my parade. I thought it was something like that was unique. And he
like, I discovered a new thing.
A new creature. And I was like, yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay. That same day I was inside, he texted me a picture from our own backyard. And I was like, but I'm outside a lot more. And so
right.
Bella and I are discovering all these new things. We get so comfortable. So I think like taking this as a challenge, like to get us out of our comfort zone and explore and discover new things. That's really an exciting opportunity. But also like, I think we're also realizing, we hope at least, our need for Jesus. Like, we get so comfortable before. I know I did, for sure. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm starting to get really nervous. It's like seeing this virus and the people who get affected. We're in New Orleans. So we're in, like, one of the places that it's really growing rapidly. And we have a lot of deaths. So it's very close to home for us. And my parents live right in Jefferson Parish, right next to New Orleans. So it's scary. And you know, we're so used to our prayers, but like now my prayers are a little bit more meaningful, I think. It's like, because it's more serious. It shouldn't change once this passes. Like, we can't forget our need for Jesus in this moment when we don't feel so needy, because we don't realize even when things come easier for us, we still need them.
Well, and that but that is the gift of suffering. And that's what's so... Like, where I, like, this past year and a half, like, I learned that so much, because suffering, it's amazing. When I have good weeks, there's almost like I miss that suffering, because one, I don't necessarily have as much to intercede for other people, and I'm not calling on him as much. You know what I mean?
Totally agree.
So that's where, like, this is another thing that I've learned, was really focusing on gratitude, you know? And you know, slowing down, and like God is creating this space to like to slow down and to look around you and be grateful for what you have, you know.
Yeah.
And so in those times when you necessarily don't have as much suffering, let's be grateful. Like, let's be grateful that today I don't have COVID-19. Let's be grateful that today I you know, like for me it was like that I got to get out of bed, that, you know, let's be grateful that today I got to see my friend Mary came over, you know, and I got to see my friend Mary, you know, like these, like, there's just like,
wait, do you have
just
another
small family? Things. No. I'm talking about for me last year, like that was like, you know, it was like, I was grateful for doing the dishes. When I had the energy to do the dishes, but that's the thing is until you have everything taken away, you can't be grateful for it. You know what I mean? So I agree with you. Like, we take this time to really realize, man, I am really blessed.
For sure.
You know? And like that's what I had to even like realize, even in the midst of all that we were going through, we have cars, we have a home, I have food. You know what I mean? These are things that we take for granted, these, you know, very basic needs, and I have them. And then as I was getting to know some of the other chronic illness people, I'm like, I can walk. You know, it may be painful some days, but I can walk. I can talk. I may have a hard time breathing some days, but I can talk, right. And like, there's so many people that I would see who were so joyful in the midst of their suffering and had so much less than I did, you know? Like, so we really do, like, we trying to be grateful, you know? Like, yeah. I have children. I know they're really annoying the shit out of you right now, but I have children, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm glad that they're slobbering on me, you know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, because we had friends recently who lost a baby, you know, like, and it's like those things that you just take everything so for granted, you know what I mean? So it's like, I know it's hard, you know what I mean? Like, and do what you have to do. Like, and that's the thing is, like, I had to call you.
You didn't get angry.
So many times last year. Yeah. And cry. And I called Kristen. I cry to her. And you know what I mean? Like, there's so many times that you have to get it out. And you really do. And that's, I think, one of the things that we have to allow ourselves. Mm-hmm. Be patient with yourself. That's what the Lord taught me in the past year, too, was, like, you need to be gentle with yourself. You know, you're not going to have it figured out overnight. You're not going to be patient overnight. You're not going to be grateful overnight. You know what I mean? Be gentle, but take right. each day as an opportunity to grow.
Yeah,
you know,
like, don't be
and ask for those graces.
Don't beat yourself up if you're not being more creative right now. Like, that's okay. Right. Don't beat yourself if you're not where you think you should be. You got to be in the moment, in the day. And again, God doesn't require us to be successful. He requires us to try, just to be obedient, period.
Right.
We've talked about that a lot in the past, too. I want to read something from Pope Francis that he said when he gave that super special, fabulous blessing. He said, "It is not the time of your judgment, but of your judgment. A time to choose what matters and what passes away. A time to separate what is necessary from what is not. It is a time to get our lives back on track with regard to you, Lord, and to others. The pandemic has exposed our vulnerability and uncovers those false and superfluous, I don't know if I'm saying that, superfluous?
Superfluous.
Certainties around which we have constructed our daily schedules, our projects, our habits, and priorities. In the midst of the storm," Pope Francis said, "God is calling people to faith, which is not just believing God exists, but turning to him and trusting him." I liked that. So good. You know, I thought that was good.
Oh, yeah.
And also about us kind of like sticking together. He talked, I don't know if you saw this, Elise, but he talked about the Bible verse when Jesus calmed the seas. I thought it was a great analogy for what we're going through right now. And so he said, he was saying the pandemic storm has made most people realize that we're on the same boat, all of us fragile and disoriented. And it has shown how each person has a contribution to make, at least in comforting each other. I've been like really encouraged just to see the creativity of people, just people being really holy, whether they have faith or not. I think that's the distinction that, like, we have to understand that right. love and all good things come from God, even if a person doesn't profess right. faith right. in him. So it's really right. beautiful right. just to see that, though, whether they believe or not, or they say that or not, all the goodness from, like, companies, from individuals. How about the healthcare workers? Like, I just can't even. It's just crazy. Oh, I just yeah. got this image the other day. And just in my brain of like, well, you hear the president refer to this as a war, right, that we're in right now, like an invisible war we're fighting. And I just kind of imagine we have like soldiers and stuff who they prepare to go into battle, like physical battle into war. Right. Well, now our healthcare workers are soldiers going into this war. And it's not something that they thought they were getting into. Like, yes, they, you know, they take an oath or however you want to say it. They know what they're getting into to a certain extent. Well, I just don't think a lot of them expected it to be like this.
Yeah.
So like we're soldiers, they get to prepare to a certain extent. Obviously, it's not like it's easy, but it's just such a whole new front line that we're witnessing, and it's just beautiful. So I think on behalf of Elise and I just want to say thank you to everyone on the front lines right now, whether it's healthcare workers or janitors or, and there's a lot of people that are maybe not so obvious as well, but they're certainly important people, the grocery stores. And so it's just really beautiful. It's a really beautiful time to be able to witness the goodness that is out there. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I'm sure you have the Nextdoor app, you know, they have like,
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I like this morning, I literally woke up and people have been posting like nonstop on there. And I've just been seeing these beautiful witnesses, you know, of somebody reaching out and being like, I am so embarrassed. This is not me, but I'm desperate right now. Like I'm, you know, I'm in need of help. I can't go get groceries. I'm elderly. And then literally you look down and there's like 80 posts, like, let me drop food off to you. What's your address? If you need anything,
I love that. I got chills.
Oh my gosh. Like, and there was another girl who like couldn't make a rent and her, you know, and they were like, oh, well, let me help you out. Here's $10 here. Here's, you know, and it's like, this is the beauty of suffering. You know what I mean? Is like pulling together like this and everybody being like, we're all in this together, you know? And that's what I want to say, like, focus on that, you know, focus on the beauty. And that's the thing is like, you can't ever see this intense beauty without intense suffering. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it just doesn't happen. You know what I mean?
It's so true, Elise. I mean, you and I have very different sufferings and struggles. I know like some of the moments I've suffered most was in severe pain with my period. And that experience is, thank God, fewer and more far between these days. But I have never experienced more like depth of life. I don't know how to explain it. Been closer to Jesus than when I was like suffering. Right. Now that's a different kind of suffering, I think, than we're talking about, but suffering is also suffering.
Right.
And I know what you mean. They're not just words, they're truth. I mean, if we can just dive into suffering like that, and there's a difference between suffering we choose, like fasting or something like those are things, those are good things too, but we don't choose all of our suffering. Right. And I actually think it's a lot easier to deal with the suffering that I don't choose. To kind of dive into that and get that experience. But it's so true. And I want to say suffering is not only beneficial to our salvation, but to the people around us. Let's not forget, because the example you just used, like God allows it for us, but also for other people to be able to step up. And then for witnesses too. We're not going to know this side of heaven, the fruit that is born through suffering. It just goes so far that we don't even see it right now.
Well, and again, like you said, these people who are, you could tell that they were embarrassed, but they were literally desperate. Can you imagine the love that they feel right now? And like they've been expressing, I've seen it expressed of like, I didn't know that my neighbors were this wonderful, you know, I can't believe, you know, like look at the love that's being spread. And this is where I want to encourage everybody, like, there was so many times like I was in very dark places, you know, in the past couple years, you know, and I felt like I was lost, you know, and I was trying to control and I was trying to, you know, fix it and, you know, whatever. And then you have to just get to this point. And I have that, you know, that thing in over my doorway that says live by grace, not perfection, you know, and that has been such a theme for me this past year, because there is a gap that we cannot humanly like make any smaller between us and our ability to be like Christ, but he can by what happens this very week of dying on a cross. He gave us grace, you know, and all we need to do is ask for that grace. And there's been so many times in the past year where I was like, just like I'd exhausted myself, you know, because I was trying to do it myself. And I finally got so like out of my own stubbornness, was so exhausted by my own stubbornness that I'd finally be like, I can't do it. Okay. You know, like, but that's the beauty, is like when you finally can just be like, I need you.
accept that I cannot do this.
Yeah. Like, I need you right in this moment. There's no way for me to accomplish this without you. There's no way I have the strength to do this. Yeah. And now finally, by doing that so many times and by exhausting myself with my own stubbornness, I don't have to get to that point anymore where I'm like, you know what? There's literally no reason for me to be anxious right now because I know God's got this. Lord, here, I hand it to you. Totally, you know, my mom used to say, like, pack it up in a box, hand it over to the Blessed Mother or to Jesus, you know? Preach. And like, and it truly is like, but I think we do have to wrestle with ourselves. I think, and that's mm-hmm. the beauty of this time. Wrestle with yourself, be stubborn, cry out to God, yell at him, whatever you need to do. Yeah. But at the end of the day, humble yourself, go to his feet, crawl in his lap, let him hold you and let him get you where you need to be, you know?
Amen. I just want to echo what you just said because I've been experiencing, I think, or maybe a better word is like getting a better understanding of what it means to accept the grace of God in my own life, kind of like you're saying. And what is grace? It's a free gift from God, right? And what I'm understanding is it's like when we get to that place where it's like, but I can't do that. Like, I can't do this on my own, Lord. It's that acceptance of that. You're right. You can't do that, but I can. Like, I being Jesus. Right. And then letting yes. him do that. It's hard because we want to have control. Right. We want to be able to do things right. ourselves. So it's hard to sit in that place where you're right. like wrestle in that. And then the freedom, that's where we're stressed. I think that is where stress lives. Right. Like that mm-hmm. is the definition mm-hmm. of stress. But mm-hmm. when we accept that we cannot, but put it in Jesus's hands and say, okay, this is yours. You have control. I can't do it my way. Let's do it your way. That's accepting God's grace and letting him take over. And it's really freeing to be able to do that.
Well, and knowing his, like that's, and then the next step is like, whatever he answers back, meaning whether it happens or doesn't.
Yes.
Like that's that when you can finally let go of that anxiety and that control to be like at peace, like what if with whatever the answer is, because you know it's what's the best for you and everybody else.
Oh my gosh,
you know?
I'm so glad you said that, because that actually brings us into this last thing I wanted to talk about. I was thinking of this. I wanted to ask you what you thought about, like, I think a good way to kind of close off this is talking about prayer, mm-hmm. right? I think we're all praying. Mm-hmm. I mean, I hope we're all praying right now, but specifically praying for healing, praying for whatever. But maybe this is a horrible analogy to make, but like, I think a big challenge is in understanding that praying to God doesn't mean he will give us exactly what we are asking for. So, Elise, I was thinking about this conversation you and I used to have when we were living the cyclic trials of infertility and the pregnancy tests, yeah. right? Like, there was a little, thankfully, like, I'm not in that place anymore, praise God. But you and I had this difficulty with the pregnancy test because it was like, am I supposed to hope that Jesus will make a miracle and I will be pregnant? Or am I just supposed to like accept whatever it says? Like, we had this hardest time. Do you remember what I'm talking right. about? We're like,
yes,
where is my heart supposed to right. be when I'm waiting for the result of this pregnancy test?
Right.
And I think that you finally kind of came to this really good place, and it's exactly what you said. We kind of figured out the point is to just hope in God and whatever he says it's going to be. And I think right. that's just the point of prayer. It's so hard. And I'm not saying like do absolutely pray for people to be healed. Pray for your family to be safe and healthy. Right. Absolutely pray for those things. But ultimately, I think it's helpful to understand that God's will is not always our will. And whatever happens, right. As long as we're trusting in him and putting our faith in him, there is hope. What do you think?
Right. I mean, you said it perfectly. I mean, I completely agree with that. I think, you know, we just have to know again. I'm just going to keep drilling this home. Like, we have to know if you really believe that he's good, that no matter what, like whether it's now or in heaven, we will see why. You know, yeah. And we may not know that now, but we have to trust in his goodness. And if anything has shown me, like, I'm only 34 years old, you know what I mean? But yet I can look back on those 34 years and I can see how many things he's resolved for my good, you know? And but in the midst of it, I was distrusting him so much and so upset and so stressed out. But now, because of living through those things, I can tell myself now in those times when I start to get anxious and distrust him, but look at what he's done already, you know? And every single time you doubted him, mm-hmm. he had a reason for it. So that's where, like, to me, having that long-term faith and that long-term relationship with him is so beneficial, because I can be like, I'm not going to do it, you know? Like, I'm not going there, because I know, and I can truly say that for the first time in my life in the past year, I've started to be able to do that and to be like, I know you're good. I know you will make this right. Right now, give me the grace to believe and have faith. Amen. And to persevere.
Amen, you sister. Know? I think that's a perfect example of, and I've thought the same thing. That's because I feel like I've gotten through just the hardest struggle of my life, which for me personally has been infertility. It's prepared me to handle other things that come along, whether they're really small or really big right. things. I was thinking the other day, this COVID situation, like, because I've seen the beautiful things God has brought him out in my life through this suffering, like, I know that I trust him. Like, so it's like, okay, right. I don't understand what's going on. This is hard. It hurts, but I trust you. And those, again, those are not just right. words. That, like, I can mean that. And it's really beautiful. Right, it just helps right. in life, just general, in general. Because, look, life is hard. Right. Whether it's COVID yeah. or whatever's right. going to happen next year, 5 years from now, 10 years, right, we cannot right. escape the trials of life. Go through right. it with the most trusted companion who loves you more than anything, you know?
Right. Well, and enjoy, like, this is... Enjoy the times that you have, like, that are beautiful when they come. Because we can't live in constant anxiety of what's coming next, true. You know? Instead, let's live in, you know what? Today is a good day. This moment is a good moment. What is my joy? What can I be grateful for? And know that God will give you the strength with whatever is coming. Yes. You know what I mean? Like, and that's... be grateful for the good days. That's what I've said this past year. I kept being like, I'm grateful for the good days, you know?
Yes.
Like I truly am, you know? So, and that's what we need to be grateful for, the good days.
Absolutely.
You know?
I know we talked about this the other day, but just finding something to be thankful for every day, even if it's just a few things or five things, you get surprised at how many things you realize you are really thankful for, but just kind of take advantage of. So that's just something good yeah. to practice in general. So, well, good chat, Elise. Thank you for sharing all of and that yeah. experience.
Thank you for talking with me. We finally figured out how we're going to do this remote.
I know. Hopefully, maybe the quality is a little off for you guys, but we're just grateful. We were like, we cannot wait till this quarantine is over to podcast. We just missed it too much. We missed you guys too much. So. Yeah. Hopefully we're figuring it out. I have a word of the day. No idea how to pronounce
it. Hit me.
But we're going to give it a try.
Okay.
Try this. Adscititious.
Adscititious.
Adscititious. You followed that, right? Perfectly?
Sure. When the ads that are put out are so juicy that they're adscititious.
That's good. Juicy. This is actually really funny and works well for these times. The definition is acquired from something on the outside. That's oh, I didn't even goodness. Do that on purpose. That's kind of good.
That's really perfect. Funny.
Let's definitely use that in a sentence.
Yeah, if you bring in anything from the out, Will got change. He had to go make a return on something, and he got change, and he came home and washed
yes,
the money.
Yes, he did. Good for him. Man, he's probably extra stressed around you in these days. Yeah, or he should be.
I know. Yeah. He's pretty laid back.
He is just kind of a laid back guy.
But yeah,
huh?
He's trying.
Oh my gosh.
But he is. He's getting better. So anyways,
thank you guys so much for spending some time with us today. Please find us on Facebook and Instagram and go ahead and give us a rating if you're up for it, wherever you hear this podcast. And we are looking forward to chatting with you guys next time. Bye.
Bye.